Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, January the 7th, 2026. First Wednesday in the year 2026. First Wednesday in the month of January. Now, the first thing I want to do this morning is update you on the heating situation here in the studio. Because we've had a fascinating development as we have went along this week with the heating situation temperature in the studio. Now, here's what has happened. On Monday, I came in, and for whatever reason, the temperature in the studio was 89 degrees, which is warmer than it has ever been in the 3 years we have been in this studio. And I didn't really quite understand what was going on heat-wise to the studio. So I brought this up on the air, and a lot of people felt there might have been a problem here and I should contact the building, which we did. And that was done, and I opened up the window so it would not remain that warm in here. And by the time the show was over on Monday, we had went from 89 degrees to 80 degrees with the door and the window open. And I left the window open a crack on Monday night because I didn't want it to get warm in here again. And I came in yesterday morning, and it was about 72, 73 degrees, which was much better. But I wasn't sure if that was because the window was open or a problem had been fixed indeed with the building. In any event, I came in this morning, and I knew there was trouble because I was walking through the hallway, and it was almost as chilly in the hallway as it was coming in from outside. Now, I will admit, outside is not that cold this morning. So as I walked down the hallway this morning, I notice it's kind of chilly. And as I open the door to come into the studio, the little foyer area we have, which is normally pretty warm, it was not warm at all. So I come into the studio this morning, and when I came in this morning, it was 62 degrees. Now, you heard me right. 62 degrees in the studio. Now, again, I did leave the window open overnight, but I doubt that would get us down to 62 degrees if, indeed, the heat was still running as it had been. So I have immediately shut the window here in the studio. And we are back up to 63 degrees, but there is a lot of movement in the building this morning. I don't know what the movement is. I haven't had a chance to get down there and see what's going on, but there definitely is a lot of, I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of movement, let's put it that way. So I'm guessing people are aware that the heating system is not working correctly at this particular point, which may have started over the weekend at some point, which is why it was 89 degrees in here on Monday, and why it's 62 going up on 63 degrees in here now. You see, after I'm in here a while, all the hot air I blow starts to raise the temperature. So now we're up to 63 instead of 62, plus the window's shut, so I'm sure that helps as well. And maybe they've got the heating fixed. I don't know. By the time this show's over this morning, maybe I'll give you an update on where we are. And that'll tell if the system has fixed or changed or anything. The heating system is fixed or changed or anything like that. But see, you complain too much. It's too warm in here on Monday, 89 degrees. And what do you get by Wednesday? You get 62 degrees, which is definitely cold. I don't have my coat on, but I did think about sitting this morning with my coat on. This reminds me of the days in the mall when we did not have heat. I know that sounds strange, but the mall, for some reason, we either did not have heat or it did not work correctly. So there were times in the mall when we would all check the temperature in the room to see how cold it was, because people did wear coats and gloves in the mall at times to broadcast. I don't remember ever doing that, but I know other people did it because it was cold. But 62, so it's kind of a throwback to that here this morning in the studio. Now, something else I do want to mention. We've talked a lot about the governor's race here in Ohio, and we now know they did it on the same day. Well, the rumblings were last night about who Vivek Ramaswamy and Amy Acton were going to pick as their running mates. And we now know who the running mates are. They both have officially announced as of this morning. Vivek Ramaswamy has chosen Senate President Rob McCauley as his running mate, Lieutenant Governor running mate. That was reported early this morning, confirmed by Ramaswamy's campaign. And the other one is maybe more interesting to me, and I'll tell you why just here in a second. Amy Acton has chosen David Pepper, who's a gentleman out of the Cincinnati area. He ran the Democratic Party in Ohio a few years ago, and he's held office in the Cincinnati area. David Pepper has been on this show before because he was the head of the Democratic Party prior, I think, to 2020, somewhere in that area. He certainly was the head of the Democratic Party during the 2018 gubernatorial race, but he was at Mary Ellen Withrow's birthday party and called in the next morning to talk about what he thought of the event. He is now Amy Acton's running mate, which is an interesting choice. So David Pepper. So that's your matchup there. Those are your matchups, or that's your match? I think it's that's your matchup. Your matchup in the gubernatorial race for the fall, Vivek Ramaswamy and State Senate President Rob McCauley taking on Amy Acton and David Pepper. And as I had said, through all the speculation, they both chose Caucasians, and they both chose men, although I thought Ramaswamy might choose a woman, and they both chose people who do have experience in politics, of which neither one of them do. So it's not that shocking who they chose. But David Pepper kind of caught my eye because he was at the birthday party, and I've had dealings with him over the years, as he has been very involved with the Democratic Party, heading the Democratic Party back in 2018. I'm not exactly sure what years he was with the Democratic Party as the head, but, you know, there you go. All right. Well, phone lines are open. Do you have any thoughts on the heat in the studio or anything else here this morning? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Ah,
cold, but I'm here.
Made a funny sound. Love your city.
Yes.
Hey, I am amazed that those running for the governor of Ohio, Where are their minds? We need Somalis in there. We need to have DEI.
Well, you know, these were pretty safe bets, I thought. When you have a first, as I said, and I know you were kidding there, but, you know, when you have the first non-white, the possibility of having the first non-white governor in Ohio, the first woman, you've got to choose the safe bet, which I guess is the Caucasian gentleman. And because neither one of them really have experience in politics, they both had to choose somebody who had experience in politics.
Well, is it too late to get Tim Walz on the ballot?
You know, I'll tell you, that whole thing has caused such a problem for our governor. And this is what I don't like about what's going on with DeWine now. And I'm no great defender of Mike DeWine, but they are going after him like crazy about this daycare thing. And I haven't seen one bit of proof yet that anything was done wrong. If you've got the proof, show it, and we'll report on it. But he's having to hold press conferences for rumors. And I think that's mainly what's wrong with our media right now. Why are people reporting on rumor?
I don't watch the local stuff or the whatever the hell it is. I can't get it. Anyways, the media is jumping on DeWine's back about...
Oh, yes. He had to hold a press conference yesterday about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can recall when the Somalis were brought in, Minneapolis was the large... there were two large populations, Minneapolis and Columbus, Ohio. Why in God's name they... you know, those two places, instead of dispersing them throughout the whole country so they could become assimilated. What they did, they isolated them, and now you have a pocket of foreigners that are sticking together, which is a natural thing to do, but they should have spread them out so that they could become assimilated.
Well, I think the problem with it, I don't know what happened in Minnesota, and clearly I think there's some investigations going on there. But as far as Ohio goes, I haven't seen one bit of proof that anybody has shown that something nefarious went on here with the child care system. But yet Mike DeWine has to defend this because, you know, people want to get on social media. And some news outlets, which really don't have a lot of credentials or follow the ethics of journalism, are reporting things that are not true. So he's got to have press conferences to defend rumors, which is ridiculous.
Well, what he should do is just ignore them. Don't address the issue. It's a non-issue until one of these lazy news outlets hires that Shirley fellow from Minnesota to come down here and go knocking on some doors.
Well, here's the thing. You know what? If there is some evidence of fraud, okay, let's see it. And then the governor will have to answer for that. But at this point, there isn't. And the things that are being said are not true. And I hate to bring this up because this is a touchy spot for people. The whole issue with the water that we had the week prior to Christmas. Now,
has that been resolved?
Well, as near as I can tell, it has. Everybody's using the water again. I don't hear anybody complaining about it now. So all those news outlets that reported that something nefarious was going on, and this was Flint, Michigan, and they're lying to us, and this is all awful, 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 awful. And I said again, I want to be very clear, if there's evidence, let's report it, but is there evidence of this, which there wasn't? Here we are, what, 3 weeks later? Nobody talking about it, nobody screaming, nobody making those posts anymore. You know, that's where we're living. Start a rumor, don't have any proof, attack the people who are just asking for proof, and I guess maybe you get more views or something. I don't know.
Well, it's something I refer to as Chicken Little Syndrome. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Whoa!
Well, I'm sure that week you heard people complaining about the water. Have you heard anything in the last 2 weeks?
I actually experienced it. Some people I met at Bob Evans, the waitress said, we're not serving water. We have bottled water because the water, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was the only thing. I did, however, in my own water, I was making some wonderful hibiscus tea, and I smelled the water, and I thought, geez, my poor cat. I've been giving my poor cat this stinky, funny-tasting water. But then I just started using, well, I usually drink water. I buy the gallon purified water and that because, you know, some of the taste of water, people don't realize it's not necessarily the water company. I'm speaking by and large here. A lot of it has to do with the internal plumbing of where you live as well.
Well, right.
With scale and stuff, although you shouldn't have scale on drinking water because of copper pipes. Do you know why copper pipes are used for water?
No, I do not.
Antimicrobial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's
but
the
I'll
thing,
say
though.
This. When Charlie Evers and I had the community garden, Aqua put up a hydrant there, a spigot, so that we could get water for the garden. That was some of the freshest tasting water. I was tempted to get gallon jugs and sell the stuff. It was unbelievable. And that was directly out of a tap-in that they did over there by the garden. It was really good. But a lot of people, it could be with inside you, but, you know.
Well,
the thing is, we can drink our water from the spigot now.
Right, but at the time, you would have thought that something horribly nefarious was going on because several people who claim to be news outlets were reporting that. And that's what Mike DeWine is facing right now. He's got to answer because people are seeing what's going on in Minnesota. So, of course, that's got to be going on in Ohio. Yet nobody's got any proof. Now, I'm not saying proof will not come about, but I don't think the governor should have to answer just rumors. I mean, somebody get some proof.
Well, it's, you know, he's in a no-win situation, really. And he should just come out and say, there are a lot of rumors. And, you know, these are hard words that come from any politician. Trust me.
Well, I do want to say about this governor's race, which is where we started. State Senate President Rob McCauley being Ramaswamy's running mate, that's a very smart choice. Because obviously that will calm a lot of people who feel that he doesn't have a experienced Republican on the ticket. And as sad as it is to say, obviously Rob McCauley is white, which is a problem Vivek Ramaswamy is having as a candidate. And Amy,
why is that?
Well, unfortunately, there probably are reasons we don't have never had a non-white governor.
Well, it's not like the guy drives a sport elephant, is it?
No, but I will bet you any amount of money that he does not do as well in Wyandotte County, Marion County, Meigs County, Scioto County, as Mike DeWine and John Kasich have done.
Quite possibly, but, you know, I think the general public, by and large, listens to the individual, and the way the individual carries themselves would probably disregard whether if you're purple with red polka dots and yellow splotches here or there or whatever. And I think people hopefully are becoming better consumers when they go to vote.
Well, here's the thing. Jim Renacci, on this program, who ran for governor in 2022, said last Wednesday morning that he has talked with Ramaswamy and said, you being a Hindu is going to be a problem.
And well, remember they told JFK, hey, you're Catholic, that's going to be a problem.
Well, but in the United States, and again, he chose Lyndon Johnson as his running mate. Had that not happened, highly unlikely JFK would have been president. So it was a problem for people. When you're running,
JFK's old man, he he knew how to pull strings.
Well, a lot of dead people in Chicago voted. So there's another point. So did the Catholic thing hurt him? It might have. Will being a Hindu in Ohio, one state, hurt Ramaswamy with all the churches we have? I would assume it would, because I don't.
You have to remember one very good thing.
What's that?
At least he's not a Muslim.
Well, but I want to say about Amy Acton's choice, David Pepper, because I can speak to that. I know David very well. As I said, he attended Mary Ellen's birthday party just a few months ago. He was the head of the Democratic Party, I think 2015 to 2020. So I talked to him a lot in those days because he would line up people like Cordray and other people running for statewide office. He's a sharp guy. So that's a good choice for Amy Acton.
Now, is he the great grandson of Dr. Pepper?
No, I don't think so. But you know, if he was, that would work.
Oh yes, especially in the South.
Yeah. Well, he's a very sharp guy. So they've both chosen very sharp, politically savvy guys, and I think that will help both of them, being that neither one of them has ever been elected to any office.
Well, it's going to be an interesting... Now, you said general election, so both parties, they don't have any opposition in the primary?
Well, Vivek Ramaswamy has somebody running against him, but I don't think that's really going to be a threat, because the party's already endorsed him. Trump's already endorsed him. He's got gobs and gobs more money than the other person. Matter of fact, I don't even think... I think his name's Putch. I don't even think people know who he is with the primary 4 months away.
What did you say his name was?
I think it's Putch.
Putch?
Yeah.
Geez, that's a different name. I've never, ever heard somebody... Last name, Putch.
Yeah. I think that's how it's pronounced, but I could be wrong. That shows you how little I'm aware of it.
Well, hopefully the proper pronunciation isn't Pooch.
Well, as far as I know, it's not. Well, we'll see how it goes. Hey, thanks for calling.
Do a better tomorrow.
All right. Well, phone lines are open here today. 740-383-9944. 65 degrees here in the studio at this particular point. So the temperature is going up a little bit, moment by moment, degree by degree. Interesting choices in this gubernatorial race. We've all wondered who it would be, and honestly, I'm very interested in both of these choices. So, interesting stuff galore this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Hey, Christian. How you doing?
I'm all right. Of course, there's no shortage of stuff in the news, so...
No, very interesting morning.
So that means it's my favorite time. My biggest observation, not the governor's race, but what is allegedly going on with daycare fraud. Ohio, the person in charge of that, of auditing public money, is the auditor of state. Ohio has had a Republican auditor of state, like, forever. Like, that was the one race in 2006 that the Democrats didn't win. We've had Keith Faber's been the Republican auditor of state since 2018. And I guess all these Republicans and wannabe journalists and unemployed folks who are showing up at the door of daycare facilities during the day, trying to audit them or whatever, that they think that the Republican auditor of state has completely failed. If we have a bunch of folks running fake child care places, which, I mean, that's really creepy. You know, you've got a bunch of unemployed adults showing up at daycare facilities in the middle of the day. If I were a parent, that would freak me out.
But do we have proof of this yet? I mean, I haven't seen
it. No, I mean, like, if there's going to be proof anywhere, it's going to be in Minnesota where, I mean, Tim Walz is resigning. I mean, he's not going to run again. He attributes this as one of the reasons, but there's no evidence there. But, you know, if you repeat something enough, it becomes the truth. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, we talk about this all the time. There are, you know, everybody wants to be a journalist. And if you have enough following social media, you're a journalist. So.
Right, but now see, here's the problem. If you report a rumor and you get it whipped up like this, and there never is any proof that anything was done wrong, do you feel accomplished because you whip something up? I mean, is that what the desired effect is? Not that you actually got something right, that you whipped up such panic and caused people such alarm? Because I can tell you there are people who run daycares, there are people who go to daycares in Ohio who are suffering right now because of what's going on with this, I guess we call it a scandal now, even though there's no proof of this scandal.
I mean, just imagine you're running a daycare in Columbus, and you've run one for 10 or 15 years, and you just happen to be black, or you just happen to be Somali, and you have a group of unemployed people with giant cameras knocking on your door saying, show me the kids. They're demanding, show me the kids. Like, that's insane. It's creepy. It's such a violation of, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you were a parent of one of those kids at the daycares and there were people saying, show me the kids at the door of the daycare, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, I think, you know, because Republicans saw how easy it is to whip people up in Minnesota, they have the highest Somali population in the United States. Why not go to the place that has the second highest Somali population in the United States and try to start more trouble? I mean, and we were talking about Vivek Ramaswamy
Let me just get this fact in here on the daycare, and then we'll come back to him. But Governor DeWine said that the state received 124 fraud referrals in all of 2025. Since the social media trend, 26 tips have been submitted in the first 5 days of 2026. Think about what social media and misleading people does.
Yeah, it would be great if, you know, that was the common sentiment among the general population.
Well, and then let me just make this point, and then I want you to come to Vivek Ramaswamy. But for the last caller, and everybody who thinks that Vivek not being a Caucasian is not a problem, well, what do you think the Somali issue is all about?
Yeah, that's why I brought up Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, if these were white people owning daycares, if they were from France, Germany, Ireland, Scotland, England, and they were, like, there's not a big scandal about French people owning daycare in Columbus. I mean, you know, that's not the problem. And I will make the point again, I'm going to say, you know, anytime someone asks about it now through November, the same people who went after Barack Obama for having a funny-sounding name and having dark skin are the same people who are going to be asked to vote someone for someone with a funny-sounding name and dark skin.
Oh, and by the way, how well do you think Vivek's going to do in Springfield? They're eating the cats and dogs.
Yeah, I mean, somehow I feel like he is going, if the voter has the shortest memory ever, so I don't know if some Somali daycare issue will still be a thing. But I'm surprised they're not trying to spin this more in Vivek's favor, like, you know, just trying to mask the fact that he is also non-white with more, you know, hatred against non-white people. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he made a smart pick, but, you know, when they redrew all the congressional maps, Rob McCauley was going to run against Marcy Kaptur. They specifically drew her district to include his house, and he decided not to run because the field was already so crowded, and he's termed out of the Senate. He can't run for another term. So, I mean, yeah, it was a smart choice, but there was also nowhere else for McCauley to go.
But it's a good choice. I think they're both good choices.
It is a good choice. I mean, especially considering I was reading it was between him and Josh Mandel, you know, certainly the better choice if you're a Republican.
I have to believe that Josh Mandel thing was a rumor because Josh Mandel was involved in so much scandal the last time he ran for Senate. I mean, didn't he spend some time in jail because of an issue, breaking a restraining order with his wife?
He was sentenced to jail, but I think they worked that out before.
I don't think that would have... I think that ended Josh Mandel's career, unfortunately.
I think the rumblings were, you know, any time a lieutenant governor is announced, it's done in their hometown. And McCauley's from Toledo, and the rally tonight is happening in Cleveland. So I think that, you know, that gave some credence to the theory and the fact that Mandel is, you know, very tight with the churches and you know, the really religious part of the conservative movement that Vivek needs to pick up ground in. But you know, McCauley's a good pick for them.
But didn't McCauley early in the week write an article for the Dispatch that was very, very much praising Ramaswamy?
I am not sure.
I think recently, you know, something like that.
I mean, he's, you know, one of the highest ranking Republicans in the state. You know, even if he's not on the ticket, he's got to go all out to support him.
Well, Rob McCauley and David Pepper both know where the money is in their party, and I think that's a big reason, I would have to believe, that these two were chosen. It's going to be interesting. I'll be interested to see how this plays out now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this one thing about David Pepper that I've sort of seen some on the left. I mean, I think it's a good pick. I think, you know, since he's left the chairman role of the party, he's gained some online notoriety. You know, he will post, you know, many lectures about, you know, redistricting or, you know, ballot issues or, you know, things that people should care about. And they're very popular. He is, as we saw at Mary Ellensburg, you know, just there, but I've seen him elsewhere. He's a great speaker. So, you know, if he can captivate an audience, he was the chair of the party, you know, even though he didn't have a bunch of success under him, I think that sort of went with how the state was sort of, shifting on its own. But, you know, he was a chair of the party, so he knows how to raise money.
There was talk of him running for governor as well, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, he hasn't been hanging around for nothing. You know, he hasn't been writing books and maintaining a presence for nothing. And I don't think he was, you know, the very first person to support Amy Acton and to go all out for her for nothing. So I think, you know, part of it is rewarding loyalty, but, you know, I think I think it's a good pick. And, you know, I think if you put two powerful speakers together like that, then it can be promising.
It looks like a good gubernatorial race. It looks like it's going to be very sharp on both ends now.
Yeah, it will. So we'll just have to see who comes to Marion first.
That's right. We'll have to see how that all shakes out. Well, hey, thanks, Christian, for calling.
Yeah, of course. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. 48 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And again, the current temperature in the studio, we're up to 66 now. So we've went up 4 degrees. See, that's what body heat and hot air does in a studio this size. But I still don't hear any heat and really don't feel any heat. I think that must be more generated by the body and the hot air in the room. So we'll see how that all shakes out. All right, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Cold.
Cold?
Cold.
It's 42 degrees outside, sir.
Yes, but in the studio it's 66 and we started out at 62.
Oh, so you got the heat fixed a little too well?
You know, I'm not really sure what happened. We went from 89 on Monday to 72 yesterday. Today when I came in, it was 62. But there is some rumbling going on in this building this morning, so I think there's an issue.
I'm leaning towards something being wrong with the thermostat, just because if you're having that big of a fluctuation, like maybe they thought they came to adjust it, and now you're 20 degrees different. And the thermostat ain't thermostatin.
Yeah, and I think 30 degrees, 62 to 89. I mean, that's almost 30 degrees.
Oh, 30 degrees. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot.
But
you were sizzling.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at maybe that was the issue. I don't know. I did learn that somebody else's thermostat was actually out the day that we were getting all the heat. So that may have been a problem as well.
Do you have a radiator? Is that what heats the building?
You know, I think so.
I lived in a building, an apartment building, that had radiator heat once, and it was one thermostat for the whole building. So, I mean, I wouldn't know how that would work in a building that size. It was just four apartments. But I wanted to talk about the Vivek thing.
Yes.
And I remember you saying, many times you said that you thought that the fact that he was Hindu and not white, you say Caucasian, I'll just go ahead and say not white, that would affect him in certain parts of Ohio. And I thought it was a possibility, but I wasn't sure. You know, I thought it was a possibility, but I couldn't really say, yeah, that was going to be it since he had Trump's support. And then I sent you a while back, I was reading through a comment thread of someone that I know, and they're a pretty well-known person, and they were throwing out their endorsement for Vivek. And someone in that comment section made it abundantly clear that as a Christian, it is a sin to vote for someone that is not a Christian for any elected position, and that they would basically be sitting this race out because it was against their beliefs to vote for someone that was not a Christian. And I was surprised that sentiment was expressed so strongly. Now, I'm not saying that all Christians feel that way. I'm not saying that person is speaking for all Christians. But they were definitely very fervent in their stance that they would not vote for someone who did not profess Christianity.
Well, here's the problem as well. That's one problem. But the other problem is, every person who ran for governor last time in the Republican primary, and there were three of them, Mike DeWine has not endorsed Vivek yet. Jim Renacci on this show last week said he has not endorsed Vivek, and he said he has spoken to Vivek and said being a Hindu is going to be a problem for you, and you are going to have to deal with that somehow. And Joe Blystone, if people are following his social media feed, is not in on Vivek at all. So the only
one
thing
that ran is like the independent last time.
Yeah, the cowboy. And so you've got all three gubernatorial candidates last time in the Republican primary, none warming up heavy to Vivek, and he basically is the only candidate at this point. So
I don't think that DeWine, I don't believe it would be religion-based for DeWine. I honestly do believe he's enough of a politician that he could get past something like that. Probably same with Renacci, but wasn't he the Democrat? That's awful. I can't remember. I mean, I wouldn't see him endorsing a Republican anyway.
No, he was in the Republican primary, but
See, that's awful. I don't even remember who he was.
Yeah, but he was he was and I think is a big Trump supporter for the most part. Although in that interview last week, he was not all in on a lot of things Trump is doing. So maybe that's an issue as well. I don't know. I think these are very smart choices, Rob McCauley and David Pepper. I think they are people high up in the Republican Party. I think they know where the money is in both of those parties. So, you know, I think those are smart choices.
I am not familiar enough with either of those people to say. I'm disappointed in both choices for governor. So, it is what it is. I don't believe Amy Acton is... I believe she's a better choice probably than Vivek. I don't know. But I just don't see her as... I see her as more caring and nurturing as opposed to a strong executive-type figure. And it's not because she's a woman. I think we can agree on that. I just don't know if when the rubber met the road, if she would be able to... And I mean, I respect her as a doctor and her education and her experience and her success. I just don't know if that parlays into being the executive of a state.
Well, I guess what I hope is that her being a woman and Vivek not being talking...
There's the equalizer, huh?
Well, I just hope that it doesn't matter. For everybody who doesn't think or who doesn't believe that those will be problems for either one of them, well, I hope you're right. Because I would like to think that is where we are in 2026.
Well, the Democrats will definitely vote for a woman. I mean, the Democrats would not have a problem doing that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain to people.
It'll be the Vex turnout amongst hesitant people to vote for a non-Christian.
Right.
Now, see, if he was a Democrat, the Democrats wouldn't care. They'd vote for him.
Right. Well, and it's just the places that he has to win. I mean, like I say, there are counties that went for Joe Blystone over Mike DeWine in the Republican primary. A lot of counties. I forget how many there were, but I think
you
around 10.
Morrow was one of them.
I do believe it was.
Okay.
So, I mean, how well do you...
That would be interesting to look at.
So how well do you think Vivek's going to do there? I'm not saying he won't win it, but I don't think he's going to win it by the margin that Mike DeWine
did.
Yeah,
and this isn't electoral college. This is every vote matters.
This is popular vote. That's right.
Yeah, so it will come down to turnout. And then, like I said, the female versus... Well, the Democrats will vote for a woman, while the Republicans vote for a non-Christian.
And also, you've got Sherrod Brown and John Husted.
Now, I'm really surprised at the... Well, I can't say I'm surprised. Sherrod seems to have the upper hand in that one.
Well, a lot of that probably has to do with a lot of people feeling John Husted was not elected to that position, which he wasn't. He was appointed, and also the fact that I think a lot of people don't see him as an exciting candidate.
No, he's not, and he really can't point to any success that he or anything that he's done to make Ohio better. And Sherrod Brown will have. I mean, you can love him or hate him, but he's done things to make Ohio better.
Well, and that becomes also an issue because that's one of the other races that will be statewide, probably the other high-profile race. So everybody who votes for that Senate race is going to vote for the gubernatorial race. And
right.
If Sherrod Brown does well, you can imagine that Amy Acton's going to do well.
Yes, and Amy Acton will have the benefit of Sherrod Brown being on the ticket and drawing out the solidly Democrat vote.
Right.
I know you guys want me to say Democratic. It just doesn't feel right. I'm sorry, Christian, if you're listening. I'll say it if that really upsets you. But she will have the benefit of Sherrod Brown drawing them out.
Right.
So,
no,
it'll be interesting to see.
To me, it's just grammatical.
Is that what it is because you'd
say Republican vote, you wouldn't say Republic vote, so why would you say Democrat vote, not Democratic vote?
Well, because I go back to Democratic has a dual meaning then.
It does, which is why I think that phraseology came from.
So that's the reason why I tried to distinguish between the two. It's not to be nasty.
But it is it is the Democratic Party.
Yes.
So even though it has a dual meaning.
The party, you're right. Okay, See, here we are getting nuanced.
Right.
I was surprised to read that this early. There hasn't even been the primary. I mean, and we know he's going to win it as far as that goes, but to see someone that blatant that early on a relatively prominent person's page, and that person even said, can't we just once put religion aside and just vote for the best candidate or something to that effect? But
I hope we can.
I hope we can turn this funk around that we're in and statewide.
Well, I just hope that people will vote for the best candidate. I don't care about what religion or what ethnic background.
Gender.
Let's just vote for the best candidate here. But unfortunately, that's not what I see when people vote. You know, the last time the Democrats won the gubernatorialship was Ted Strickland. Ted Strickland ran against Ken Blackwell. Well, you know, I don't want to say that Ken Blackwell not being Caucasian was an issue, but...
I'm sure it was then, because that's been a while ago. 20 years?
Well, and Nan Whaley was the first woman to get the endorsement, or not the endorsement, to get the nomination of any major party for governor. Well, she did, and I don't think being a woman helped her either, because she got fewer votes than anybody else on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, that was a double hit that... No name recognition, and then she was a woman.
Right. So, you know, does it matter? I don't know. I guess, you know.
I almost feel like everybody's sort of decided at this point. The people that are going to vote are going to vote, and we're going to have a year of them just attacking each other. And it's not like if you've decided to vote for Amy now, you're not going to have changed your mind to Vivek by November. and vice versa.
Well, I don't think that any Republican is going to vote for Amy Acton, but
no.
It only takes about 200,000 Republicans not to vote.
To not, right.
That will swing that race in the other direction.
And so it goes.
And we'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Stay tuned.
I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit missed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same